I thought Chris and Matt would like it more than what we've been reviewing. But I didn't know they were metalheads.
You guys intentionally pick out stuff that you think we'll like?
No.
No, I don't really care.
Know then what she's been has reviewed.
I just
last
pick
two.
Out stuff
I figured
that
you
I like
this one better.
I don't care what you guys like.
Well, that's good because I don't care what you like
either. Awesome.
Okay.
I'm not that rude. I'm honest. I'm very candid.
Okay, let's roll this puppy out.
So basically, you are that rude.
Not that rude.
Okay, we ready, guys?
Yeah.
We got everything worked out. Everybody needs the hug, or are we good?
I don't like hippies.
All right, let's get this thing.
She doesn't like my book.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of Comic Pop Library. Problems?
No.
So
you perked up over there. I was like,
no. Go ahead.
Start that over.
I'll try not to mitt here.
Welcome to episode 27 of Comic Pop Library. With us today is myself,
Chris.
God.
Sorry, I was paying attention.
April.
Logan.
Of course, today you've heard what we're going to be reviewing. We're going to be doing 660's debut album. But first, we're going to tackle Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land.
In case you guys are wondering out there, myself, his name is actually Richard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know,
you have myself.
You know, Heinlein.
I am but an egg. I must go grok.
Heinlein.
Thou art God.
Heinlein kind of reminds me of the Heimlich maneuver.
Some thoughts should be kept to yourself.
It does. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, I've heard this book referred to as the Hippie Bible.
It can work as that.
Well, this actually... Okay,
psychic.
Let me tell you what the book's about, and then I'll tell you what has happened in this fictional book that actually came true. So, this book's about a guy... Or actually, it starts off with two expeditions to Mars. The first one is couples, basically. Is this like four of them? Four couples?
I believe so.
Go to Mars... And basically try to explore it. But there was one radio transmission that said that they were there, and then they didn't hear another thing after that. So they assumed that they all died.
Yeah.
So 25 years later, they go back to find the wreckage. And I'm guessing 25 years because technology has gotten better. It's cheaper. It doesn't take as long to get there, maybe. I don't know. But there was a radio transmission that said Mars is inhabited. So it turned out that these people actually landed. They actually started living on Mars, and one of the couples had a child.
And it was an illegitimate child.
Yes.
Because it was married couples. It wasn't couples. They were actually married.
It was married couples, and then...
Two of them had an affair.
Ew.
Right. He's a bastard child.
Like a Martian baby?
Yes, exactly.
Ew,
no.
That just doesn't even sound pretty.
The Martians don't have gingers.
Oh, the Martians aren't into it at this point, April. It's just April. Humans.
Wait. The Martians are kind of like flowers.
I never said they had genders. I just said a baby.
Yeah, you were one of
the ones too. It
wasn't
between a Martian and a human.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Martians.
That's not
don't
a pretty baby.
Have the equipment to do
Chris
that.
Is kind of like, oh my God, what am I doing?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Logan. That's
He's
not.
He's got
a
this look in
no,
his
no,
eyes.
No, no, I've got to correct myself.
No, I mean, their history of arguing over somebody else's review is. I knew it was going to happen. I just
no.
Okay, let's
let them
let
have
Chris
their
go
argument,
on.
And then I'll okay. All right. So anyway, this guy they name Smith. And I'll tell you why that's strange, because this is an alien, and he has a pronounceable last name.
What?
That is different from most other sci-fi. Most of them have, like, different, like, alien names, like, blah, and then some other names, you know. Like, in Protector,
that?
The guy's name was, you know.
I didn't catch that.
He's alien in the sense he was born on another planet, though.
No.
He's still human.
Yeah.
He is humanoid.
Is
he?
He
is human.
It's the offspring of two humans.
No.
But he was born on Mars.
Right. And yeah. That environment...
turns him into a Martian.
No.
It has
he
a
was,
factor on his body.
Though. In the book, he is alien.
Right.
That's basically all you need to know.
Because his life on Mars, he
okay.
does become an alien
because
to a sense.
He yes. has superhuman abilities right. that we do not possess. Therefore, he is
alien.
Hey, the humans in there have those abilities.
They have to learn them.
They have to learn it, though.
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. You're spoiling.
Well,
you
guys,
we'll
that's okay.
There.
That's okay because yes. it's in my outline. The second thing I need to discuss.
Okay.
But
Superman.
he was from Krypton. Shut up.
Krypton's
anyway,
an element.
So just to back up, where's a stranger in a strange? Anyway, there ends up being a religious element in the book, and I think this is pretty much the whole point of the book was this whole religion. But so Smith is an outsider looking in. He looks like us, but he's not us. So he kind of looks at us, you know, from a standpoint of an infant, an adult sure. baby. So as he's sort of observing, he could swim forever. He'd be an awesome swimmer.
Oh.
Yeah.
He could hold his breath forever. Anyway.
Literally.
So he's sort of looking at us from the outside and saying, okay, you guys are weird. And then goes into different aspects. And one of the things that he couldn't grasp was religion.
Grok.
Right.
Grok is to know everything about it so much that it is you as much as you are it.
Okay.
Did you get that from the dictionary?
No, from that.
Okay. Literally, this is in the dictionary. I looked it up.
Okay.
It means
it
to drink.
No, it's just
okay.
in Logan's head.
To
I
drink.
Swear,
metaphorically,
that's...
it means to
well,
comprehend... or to understand thoroughly.
So they actually got that into the dictionary?
Yes.
Awesome.
I thought it was just a made-up word for the book. Or...
No.
So did I.
No, actually, like I said, there's a lot of stuff in this book that is in real life, and I thought I was reading complete fiction. It reminds me of Dan Brown's, what is that book that everybody just had a cow over?
Da Vinci Code?
Da Vinci Code. This book was the Da Vinci Code of the 60s. So...
okay.
Was Grok before the book or after?
I don't know if they put a date when words are inducted.
You just
have to find the earlier dictionaries.
So
to
start off with the religious element, we can start off with the title. It is taken directly from the from the King James Version of the Bible, Exodus 2:22. I have been a stranger in a strange land.
You did a lot of research on this.
I did. Thank you.
I am proud of you. Next time I come here, I will bring you a gold sticker, and I promise that.
You know what would be really even better? Yeah, shut up so I can do my review. Okay, anyway. Okay, so they have a communion where people, they share basically the same cup of water, and I equate that to communion. Then there was Grok. We already talked about that. But there's also this... this gets really weird.
It's sci-fi.
But
it's supposed
no,
to be.
No, wait. But you got to understand. I understand. Okay, in the book, they cannibalize the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that comes from Christianity.
They're taken
in a sense.
That person's essence, basically.
Yeah.
Is that how?
Yeah, but in the literal sense, they are eating them.
Right.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah,
I'm not going to eat someone.
It actually makes a fair bit of sense.
I'll eat a penguin, though.
You shall not eat penguin. Where did that come from?
I have no idea. Anyway, moving on. They have spirits, but they refer to them as the old ones or ancient ones. And so with all that in mind, Smith starts a church called the Church of Worlds.
And various other names. They don't really stick to one after a while.
When he gets in trouble, they say
it was the Church of Worlds in the book, though.
Yeah, originally.
There's a point to that. Right. That church actually exists. It's a 501c3 in California.
Awesome.
I feel like the cat off of Puss in Boots right now.
And the beliefs of the church come directly from that book. So they believe in multiple intimate relationships.
Don't mean to just go ahead. But is this like the Jedi religion in England now?
Sounds like it.
Probably.
Jedi religion. I missed that one.
Yeah, oh, there is.
You didn't know about England, that? They've recognized Jedi as a religion.
Oh, my god!
And it basically dictates of... Huh. Jediism from the Star Wars.
This
movies.
Is probably just like that. Yeah. So they
sounds more like it would be a culture, but yeah, that would be.
They don't. They didn't say they believed in marriage, but they do believe in multiple intimate relationships.
Is that like that dude that has a lot of wives?
Yes. But non-marriage. Abraham. So yeah. It's just non-mainstreaming family structure. So if we both have it, you become my water brother.
Right.
Basically, what? That just means we have had communion together, and I trust you.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Native Americans or something.
And trust is they believe in social libertarianism, have water rituals, and promote religious tolerance.
Kind of reminds me of Native Americans with the water rituals, kind of. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, just to kind of that's what the book's about. Now to sort of discuss in a little bit more detail about what was in the book. So this guy comes from Mars. And he meets this nurse. Now, we can back up a little bit. The government sort of takes him as a prisoner in a sense.
It kind of. He almost does need that for the reason.
Yeah. So he is supposed to be completely separate from everybody. Only men can enter the room. And then this girl named Jill, a nurse, walks into the room. And that's his first water brother. Because she gives him a drink of water. So I guess you can almost equate her to Mary Magdalene in a way, because she serves him.
True. Okay.
So then they sort of get fed up with staying in the hospital, and Jill sort of takes him out of the hospital and takes him to a friend's house, whom his name is Jubal. And he basically starts explaining what is going on. And I guess Bill Caxton... was Jill's friend for a while, and he works for a news agency.
Yeah.
And he sort of figured out that because Smith was born on Mars, he has declared ownership of it. So the planet Mars belongs to Smith.
Technically, yeah.
And then the government of the time, which is basically the United States, they don't say that. They say it's something else, like United Federation or something like that. Wants control of Mars. So they try to trick Smith into signing ownership papers over to the United Federation while he's in the hospital.
They don't really bother with that. They just get an actor to dress up like him and do it for him.
That does, that does happen.
And after that, she goes ahead and kidnaps him.
Right. So they're at Jubal's house, and it's kind of... his first sanctuary where he is completely safe from the outside world, but has this circle around him of a few people that sort of teach him basic human behavior, earth behavior.
Kind of.
And then that's when they learn that he can basically do what the monks do in Tibet, and that's they have total control of their body. Yep. They can slow their heart rate, slow their respiration.
Didn't he reveal his disappearing power when they got ambushed at the news reporter guy's house?
That's right. Yeah, they go to Bill's house first before they go to Jubal's, and while they're there, they're waiting on Ben, right? Ben Caxton. Waiting on him to get back, but he doesn't show. And then these two guys, they're cops, try to present warrants for their arrests, to sort of keep it undercover, what they did as far as the Mars thing. And he basically, in the book, they say he just makes him disappear. They show
that. This is where your superpowers you were alluded to.
Right. Telekinetics, his ability to change the
world around him.
No, change the universe. No, not universe.
Galaxy.
Fabric of reality.
Okay, that's fine. All those are right. So anyway,
it's a guessing game.
Well, in the book, it says that he moves objects into the fourth dimension.
Yeah, because at one point he said, "They're gone, but you should have told me because I would have made them disappear, and I would have had them brought back."
This is
right.
So he can make them reappear, go back, or he can make them
this
disappear.
This is kind of like a Doctor Who when. I'm sorry if you're not a Doctor Who watcher, but when Rose gets put on that alternate universe, except that she can't go back, but like...
Kind of.
Is what I kind of think of.
To...
When you guys explain that. Except for, instead of her permanently being there, the Doctor could have gone back and forth and all that.
So at Jubal's house, back at Jubal's house, we visited Bill's twice now. Or Ben. Ben's twice now.
Oh, my God.
Now we're back at Jubal's house. And so he's being taught basic human behavior, morals, in a sense.
They actually try to avoid teaching him that. They just give him a lot of books.
Right. Well, he ends up reading several Bibles.
Yeah. Right.
So that's when they decide to kind of play with his ability to experiment with it. They tell him to levitate a box. Then they tell him to levitate... two objects, and he couldn't do it, but he ends up being able to do that later. Then Jubal sets up two cameras, focuses them on the object, and Jubal says, make him disappear, and they try to analyze what exactly happened, and they can't figure it out. Something happens with the cameras.
It shrinks into disappearing.
Right, yeah. But there's a point where something happens to the camera, and they can't really tell what's going on.
No, they said that was... The thing that happened with the cameras is the object shrunk into itself.
Oh, okay. All right.
And at one point, they couldn't tell anymore because the camera either broke or it just didn't pick up anything else. It was kind of like a glitch.
Right.
Almost. So they... pardon me.
Or a loop.
A loop?
No.
No.
He is a fake Martian.
No, not a loop. But yeah, it's the... Didn't he mention almost that if he could think it, it could happen, kind of?
They sort of allude to it, but I don't know. He said
he has to
there was
practice.
A part of his ability that he couldn't do because he wasn't mature enough yet.
Right. But he could practice it. But I remember some type of statement, and I'm definitely paraphrasing this, that it was almost like if he could think it, he could almost do it.
Right.
You know, like you mentioned, he was a great swimmer. He just had to go down and say, basically, I don't need air.
Right. Well, he would control his heart and his lungs and slow them down.
He goes into a meditative trance.
That's it.
He calls it something different, but yeah, that's it. And his body goes into, if I remember correctly, clinically dead space. And what does Batman have to do with any of that?
No, when you guys... talk about slowing down the heartbeat and calming himself down. I think of Batman's training in Asia.
Some thoughts should be kept to yourself.
Kind
okay, anyway. The new ones. In the new ones. The new
I've
okay.
thought of Martian Manhunter during this too.
Okay.
So.
True. And the abilities seem to be basically...
Because, let me explain. When you first said invisible, I thought you meant he could turn himself invisible. And so I thought of the Martian Manhunter.
But then, he can separate himself from his body, but that's not the same as
astral projection.
Well, you guys, but that was my first thought, but then I discarded that person. God.
But you still said it.
He also goes from...
so sorry for knowing my superheroes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Logan.
He also goes from empath to mind reader.
Yes.
Or at least to those who have the same ability, mind reader. I'm not sure about the others.
I can't remember if he can read everybody's mind or like Lois said.
No, he can only read the minds of his water brothers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has empath to everybody else because of the astral projection he was sensing.
That's such a...
Keep saying water brothers.
That's just
I just
so
keep
funny.
Thinking of water boy.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
I keep thinking Warner Brothers.
I keep thinking Native Americans.
That commercial brought to you by. So anyway,
it sounds like a difficult book to read, but it's not a difficult book to read, though. No, to me, well, I didn't think
that
so.
That explains it.
It was straightforward, but there's a lot of other stuff in it that,
But it's not written at a level where it's boring or you can't understand it. It kept my interest.
It was boring at the beginning to me.
It didn't bother me.
I couldn't get into it until it's because it's dialogue. A lot of it is dialogue, and it's like, okay, blah, 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 whatever. Just get on with the story, you know?
It definitely got more interesting when it got into the religious aspects.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
The first instance was the... What was it called, anyways?
Of what?
The first church that he went to.
God, what was that?
They said it a lot, God. Why can't
I know.
Start with a T or something.
I know.
If you had read it, you could remember.
Really? Because it was kind of weird. Because while Chris is looking that up, it was a Christian church created.
It was.
Christian dictates, but it was a branch. Kinda. We have all types of branches of Christianity.
It had another prophet show up,
and they basically took their high. This guy created it, kind of like Mormonism. Yeah. Or Wesley is...
I'm going to let Matt chime in Methodist, here in a second.
But he took pieces from Christianity. He also took pieces from some other things and toted it as Christianity. And he said he was basically like a deacon or the high priest. He was almost like a pope.
Prophet. They said Archangel Michael.
Right. Archangel Michael. But what they did is when he died, they didn't bury him. They put him on like a throne and petrified him almost, where he's there in the church looking over everything.
Gross.
His body. Did you read it that way, Chris?
Kind of.
They directly said that,
okay. Nasty.
But
it was kind of different.
This church, you could gamble.
Yep.
You can have sex.
Yes.
Oh.
And there was a third one.
Oh, well, he's dry.
And it was all promoted. Yeah. That to me isn't Christianity.
No.
Well...
It can,
but he took that, and they were professing it as a branch of Christianity. Yeah.
Fosterite,
there you go.
That sounds like a rock.
And it says it's a cult.
Well, technically, every religion is a cult.
Yep.
Because you look up the definition of a cult, it is
sound like a Republican.
A leadership. No. I had to stand up for this in one of my library classes for my masters.
I was kidding.
Because when you
we do not stand by Republicans.
Because he said, "What do you want to take?" And I said, "I'll take cults." And I looked up the definition of a cult, and it's anything that has definitions, has a religious leader, and has dictates. Doesn't matter what it is. So a cult is every religion. Now the occult. That's when you get into
the darker stuff.
Yeah. So technically, the United States is a cult.
Well, every religion in the world is a cult.
Hey, I have a question.
We're not starting holy wars.
No.
What's the oldest word in the dictionary? Do y'all know that?
No.
April.
Darn. No. Well, there's this question of the week thing that was just stapled to the wall somewhere.
Yeah.
This random thought brought to you by
that asked me and Daniel like spent the whole hour in math looking it up, but we could never find it.
Yeah. This just has something to do with the book.
Anyways.
Took that to where.
So he become.
And they had an inner circle in the Fosterites too. Because they put out...
There were 9 circles in the world Church of the
Right,
world
and he took that from the Fosterite Church. Because you remember the one gal that was the innocent one?
You know, when you build a new religion, you usually base it off somebody else's religion or multiple religions. Christianity was that way. So this book was good.
Mm-hmm. And that's 9 worlds took it from Foster's and Mars. Or that book's Mars, anyways.
Oh, the other kids with the...
It makes you think. If you really read this book, it makes you stop, scratch your head, and like.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's It's not a hard read, but it is very thought provoking.
Yep. I enjoyed it because of that, though.
That's because you like to read that types of books. Like, you like to read those religious books.
It's good anyways.
I know, but you always have one lying around somewhere. So.
Okay, let's let Chris continue on.
So anyway, since you've alluded to the church thing. No, that's okay. We'll just skip right ahead to that. Because towards the end of the book, he dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he's revealed to be Michael.
Gabriel. One of them.
Hush.
His name is Jupiter. Okay. Anyway.
Start over.
No. I'm not starting. It's okay, Logan.
Start that.
It's all right. Okay. So so he dies, and I think he does he will himself dead or whatever? How did that work?
Because was it actually there when his death occurred?
I'm not sure. Because
him and Jubal talked.
Jubal.
And then didn't they separate? And then it was.
I can't remember. At some point, he talked to Jubal because he had to give all his money to him, right?
I'm sorry, you both were talking.
Anyway, so he dies. Jubal can't stand the fact that he died, so he goes to kill himself.
No, he doesn't.
It was a suicide attempt.
Oh, attempt.
It was an attempt because because that's when, at the attempt, that's when Smith came back to him as a vision.
Okay, I have no clue what you're talking about there.
Okay.
I don't remember that.
Neither do we.
I so remember that.
Have there been different editions of this book?
Yes.
That would explain it.
Okay. And does this book, Smith was killed by a mob of Fosterites.
Oh, and the one we read, it was police. Yeah, basically.
Okay. Interesting.
That is.
And the Fosterites killing him would be very, very unlikely. Because that's about the one thing they say, do not do, the violence thing, wasn't it?
Oh, I can't remember that, Logan, to be honest. Ours was an older edition.
At that time, that's when Jubal eats his remains. He wasn't put on a statue. And then Jubal revives the church.
In the one reread, the church never dies in the first place. They're already well-founded enough to ignore their founder's death. And, yeah, they do eat his body.
I have a question.
What?
What's the religion again?
Church of Nine Worlds?
No, that's just like
a Fosterite.
Fosterite?
Yeah.
Is phosphorus a rock?
Phosphorus is.
It's an element.
That's a pH.
Oh, darn. Oh, okay, I knew it had something to do with science. Huh. All right. That's what I keep thinking of.
And did yours have the little clips of when the two Fosterite leaders were dead and up there?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Did your edition have the little clips of the two dead Fosterite leaders?
I don't believe so.
That was funny.
I think in the last two books, because ours was separated in four or five books. I can't remember. In the last two books, there's this, the Archangels of the Fosterites. They had a chapter that they just talked about what Michael was doing.
Yeah, and they actually got it the Archangel Michael thing, which was then
substantiated in
the last chapter.
Right, that's what leads me to believe there's different editions, evidently.
Yeah,
check it out on Wikipedia if you want to know what I'm talking about.
By 10 or 20 of them, you'll probably.
So Chris didn't actually read the book. He just looked at Wikipedia.
And it was going and on.
Thanks, Matt. Oh, way to make me look.
I haven't even talked to you about
sorry,
that.
Sorry, Chris.
Oh.
I throw my notes at you.
You know, I was being such a good person and not saying anything.
And you still shouldn't because you didn't even read the first word, so be quiet.
No, I didn't. I'm not going to.
Good,
but
be
Matt
quiet.
Is. Oh.
And the one we read, their version of the
Matt didn't
after
read it either.
Death thing is wherever you expect it to
I
go,
have to now.
You go.
Sounds interesting.
There's all the little sections of heaven
it
up there.
Really difficult. Hey, that reminds me of Muslim.
We were done with the confusion.
That's so much.
We were done with
one of the things.
I mean, I will admit I do use Wikipedia as a source for.
So do I.
For literary criticisms, but. I did read it.
Come on, Chris. You know I was messing with you.
Good job, Chris. Oh, yeah, God. Way to go. I'm being supportive right now.
Somehow I'm more disturbed.
Age range, what do you think? If you're handing it to somebody.
I would say adult. I mean, a older teen would be able to read it.
Senior.
I think I have... Yeah. Well, I have one sophomore at our town that would read this and understand more about the book than the author would.
Okay.
But he is like...
Shout out.
Highly doubtful.
He is... No, he is insanely smart.
Sounds like somebody's trying to pick somebody up.
That's like an... no. No.
But
okay, anyway, age range for sure this book would be at late teenager, but definitely in the adult range. Like, I know you need this book for some college entry essays or as part of a reading list for college entry. So, 16 or older.
And to me, I don't know, it's not really
fiction?
I would almost call it fantasy.
The only sci-fi aspect of it is Mars. And
it happens in the future.
It happens in the future, yes.
Future or alternative universe.
It has the grav cars, all that stuff.
True. That is true.
The patent for waterbeds came from this book.
Oh, really?
It was denied, though.
Awesome.
That's so funny.
Yep.
But that, it's kind of like we talked about Callahan's Bar.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see that as hard science fiction. It was more
social
aspects.
There are different genres of sci-fi out there.
Right. This one is not a hard sci-fi. To me, it's more of a philosophical sci-fi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Since it deals so much with religion.
Right.
Yeah.
And this book will either make you
upset.
Religion and government, true. This will either make you upset or make you scratch your head and think about it.
Yeah.
I think I would get upset.
I think the book was meant to upset people.
I'd say, well, because when you were talking about earlier, Chris, or you were just saying, he's basically Jesus, well, I get upset.
I didn't say that during the podcast.
No, he didn't. For reference, this is before we start taping, and he was just...
I don't recall saying that.
Neither do I.
I do. I was standing right there by the delusional table.
Person. Are you on your medicine?
You were in the restroom, Logan.
Well, this is long ago then.
But I think one of the aspects was, we called it the hippie Bible.
It could be a Bible for the Church of Worlds, which, as I mentioned...
Kind of like Star Wars really with exists. The Bible for Jedi.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But to me, using that analogy is pretty... I'm not going to say concrete accurate, but movement back in the 60s was peace and free love.
Tolerance.
It's coming
back.
But
you look at this, and it was about peace. Mm-hmm. They did not want to fight anybody, but if push came to shove, they would. But they were mainly...
Well, they just make it go away.
Right. But... Then the love part came in with the communal aspect.
Intimate relationships.
And that's where, like, that does ring to that philosophy back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see how some people have called it the hippie Bible.
Becoming one with nature.
But see, I don't like that reference. Yep. I don't like people calling it a hippie Bible.
Just a thought.
You don't have to agree with what it was called. That's just what I've heard of it.
I'm very protective about things that I believe in. And so when people use a reference that I use, like in Christianity, I use the reference Bible for the sacred book.
Bible literally means Christianity. If I remember correctly, if we go by the literal definition of the word Bible, there's about a couple dozen or 20s or whatever.
Yes, there is.
Bible's over there. There's one right there. There's
the Mormon Book of God.
One right there.
It's basically...
No. If I remember correctly, Bible literally means book.
I'm not saying it's correct or not. I'm just saying that I get the protective stance to where you can't call your book my book.
Well, you need to be open-minded.
Well, that's why it's... They say it's not the Bible. They say some people have
likened
it to the Holy Bible or the Hippie Bible.
I'm not saying...
To the cultural movement at the time.
Yeah, it's like...
And that's why I said this book will either make people upset,
right?
And it will.
I'd be ticked off.
Or they will stop and think about what's being written, and make a decision rationally. But some people will get to that point when they really start digging into the religious aspects of this book and probably just say, I'm done. Right. I don't want to go any further.
But
and
why would this be on a national reading list? I'm trying to figure that out.
No clue.
How many big words does it use?
Probably quite a few. I can't remember.
Because that's a big factor, I bet.
To answer Logan's question about what the definition of Bible is, any book containing a sacred writing of a religion.
All right.
So
I can see, I think it's because... Mm-hmm.
And all this time I thought you were playing games, Matt.
That's what I thought. Look up stuff. That's what I thought. I was like,
most of the colleges, they have those reading lists because they want the kids to be able to think critically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this book, if you will digest it, will make you think critically. One way or the other.
It'll hurt your brain in parts.
So that's what primarily the reading lists are for.
Okay.
That's what I've always seen them as. I could be completely wrong. The regents could, you know, say something completely different at the colleges, but that's how I always viewed the reading list.
Okay.
I just thought it was whatever sat like
whatever they felt
like.
Biggest
words in it. Honestly, that's what I thought.
It wouldn't make sense.
Dr. Seuss has some pretty big words in it for you.
No, it doesn't.
And in the version of the book we read, there is a pretty kind of funny, kind of awesome part of it. The Martians, a long time ago, literally destroyed a planet that was kind of thinking about attacking them. They were going to do the same to Earth in a couple of thousand years. Well, by that time, we could easily crush them.
But they didn't say they were actually going to do it. That was one of Michael's fears. Because he said they will either leave us alone, or they will come down and try to take over us. But like you said, it would be thousands of years in the future. Yeah. And Jabal says, oh, we'll be gone by then. Don't worry about it. That's for the future to worry about. Yeah. So
well, I thought they actually had that little bit near the very end.
If they did, I don't remember. But I do remember Michael talking to Jabal about the Martians having two possible planets. Right.
Or Planet V.
This is one of those that's considered a classic in the sci-fi genre. Most libraries will probably have it. Everybody knows the title, at least, Stranger in a Strange Land.
Right.
So this is one that if you'll probably already have it. If you don't, you can pick it up probably
cheap.
$15 for a trade paperback. If you do a paperback, you can probably get it used somewhere and put it into your collection or just interlibrary loan it if you don't have it in your smaller collection. Is there anything else you want to mention, Chris?
That's it.
You know, you've said that once already.
I need to grok.
You need a grog. All right, let's pause for a short break.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So, why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month. Why are we waiting for nothing? Why are people holding on? Dreams forgotten, we should all be moving forward and losing all of our visions of ambition. Here we come, run for it, run for it. Coming, run for it.
down for all that we have now. We should all be moving forward and losing all love, our visions of it.
Okay, and we are back. And as you can tell by the music interlude, we are reviewing the self-titled debut album of 660. The introduction to the podcast was their song, April. Would you do that for us?
Don't Forget Your Roots.
And the last song we just listened to.
Oh, the last song we right. just listened to? Yeah, Run For It.
So you have two samplings that you've had been able to listen to. At the very end of the program, we will go out with another sampling. What was it, April?
Lost.
Thank you. So we'll let April take it away with her review of the album 660.
660 is a group from New Zealand who is very popular in Australia and is coming to the U.S. for a tour sometime soon.
And they started out on 660 Castle Street.
Yep, they were. That's where they got together originally and just worked out all their music and just had fun. And that's kind of interesting because, like, when you watch the video for Don't Forget Your Roots, it shows a house with the address 660. And so they're saying...
Is it their house?
I'm probably. Assuming...
Either that or a mock-up of it.
Like, I'm not positive, but it's like, don't forget where you came from.
It's their halfway house.
Don't get a big head.
it's either their halfway house or a mock-up of it.
All right. So, their genre is a soul and rock, bass, hard electronica.
Was your thoughts, though, when you heard them, though, before you looked them up?
When I first heard them, I thought of smooth jazz. And not because it does not sound like jazz at all. It's not a jazz group, but because of the smoothness of their playing, I think of the smoothness of smooth jazz. And then on some songs, I think of soul. Some songs, I think of islandy, and then it's just eclectic.
Wow, her take on music is way different than what I thought.
What did you think, Matt?
Some of the songs to me reminded me of like 80s power ballads with not quite as much guitar, I guess, in some of them. I did enjoy them. I mean, it's probably a band I would have never heard of or listened to otherwise.
They had to grow on me.
They did to me.
They're trying to mainstream to me. To me, they're trying to play all the good-sounding music that or have a similar beat or similar sound to some of the more popular bands are.
Actually, I think you kind of have a point because on one of the songs, it was just the opening, and they do have long openings with just the instrumentals. I thought of the song Young and Wild and Free for it. It sounded like the
Who
background.
Sings that?
I don't know.
Oh. I can't remember.
I just know like it's just some rapper. And then on one of the songs, it's a very short snippet, very, very short. But in part of it sounds like Moves Like Jagger from Maroon 5. It sounds like they should be starting to sing that song. I don't know if they do that purposely or if that's just me like naturally going to that, but that's what it sounds like to me.
They do incorporate a lot of different styles of music into their entire album.
Yeah.
How many songs were on their album?
Oh, good Lord. Like 13?
There was 11 on the first disc, I think, and 5 on the second disc.
Yeah, because it was 2 discs. Yeah.
So that'd be 16 total.
I do not like 2 discs. I don't see what's so hard about putting it all on one disc.
Oh, the 2 discs space. Were perfectly fine. Yeah.
Like,
the bad part was the not putting any lyrics with the song.
And some Though people, those acceptable. Are added expenses.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of artists and companies that don't put lyrics, but it is nice when you do get lyrics with them.
A gold foil cover.
I hate their cover. I hate.
That costs some money, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I'm sorry, but I do not like your CD case because I couldn't find the opening when I first picked it up.
Leave it to the blonde to not be able to open the CD.
And most of the time we had the case, we did not know there was a song list on it either.
Right. The way the case is situated, it was a trifold. Oh. And the 2 discs are on the outside folds of the trifold, and in the middle
outside
trifold,
envelopes.
Okay, envelopes, in the middle envelope, and we didn't, Logan and I, like Logan said, we didn't know anything was in there, and
I'm the one that found
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was messing around with it, and it came open, and there was their song list, a card that pulled out.
Well, see, they entertain you with puzzles.
But see, I hated it, though, because then I had to find the CD. You okay there, Dad?
Dude, your head just went, brow!
Richard's head just
you're
exploded.
Like you're like a trying cat, not to sneeze. Like, sneezing all this time. No, but, like, I hate, like, how they did the inside, too, because it's all black. Almost no seams that you could tell. I know that's the song, wrong word, because that's like clothes, but Okay, but see, and so I took a long time trying to find the discs too.
It wasn't. It isn't the typical CD that you get in the United States. But you have to remember that you guys didn't buy that here. Mm-mm. You bought that online.
From
that, it came from overseas.
From overseas, so you can't find that anywhere that I know of here in
the
United States.
How much was the import tax?
You can get it off Amazon.
Can you?
I think tax and everything when it was done. This is an expensive album to get.
Yeah, it was
about $35, I believe.
You can get the White Album cheaper than that.
I know. I think this is the most expensive.
Is this the Black case Album
CDs we've gotten so far?
But I like them. For me, though, I'm the opposite. I like the minimalist approach.
That's
just me. I like, you know, just the gold and then just the black. And that
just put it in an envelope with a window on the front and send it.
They're not buying software, Chris.
Not quite that minimalist. But the song she mentioned, the island songs, that was more on the second disc, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I think I missed that disc.
That's the second disc had Don't Forget Your Roots
and
on there.
Had a little bit of an islandy feel to it. And I think the second song on the disc did as well.
Yeah, they just had a very eclectic taste for music. They just pull whatever
they think sounds
awesome.
They do. There was a ton of different kind of, I guess you want to say, styles of music that they play. And each song kind of seems a little bit different style to me. It was interesting. They're not something I would listen to, but they're not a bad
Well, this is group. One, like April said, that had to grow on you. I tried listening to this first while I was doing paperwork in the office, and that was the wrong way to experience the first time.
That's probably why I didn't enjoy it. I was trying to
because it was I so could if, not concentrate on the never music. Mind. Oh, okay. Get it out of your system, Chris.
No, that's okay. So if you're a virgin to this type of music, you need to do it at the right mood.
The right moment. But to a degree, you have to listen to this for the music, because when I was doing paperwork, I would be sidetracked with that, so I couldn't really get the gist of some of the lyrics and songs and stuff. But then the second time through, it was at the house. I was able to just sit down and listen. And I was like, okay, I was getting the beats, or getting the lyrics, and I was like, okay, I can enjoy this.
It's weird, because when I first started listening to it, I just listened to them on YouTube, nothing going on. I was like trying to listen. But their singer was so quiet, I could like barely understand him mumbling something. Like, I don't know if it was because he was singing quiet or the instruments were loud, because they didn't sound
loud.
Was
it a live performance?
No.
Because I know there's even a lot of artists today that are, you can tell me if I'm wrong, you guys. But to me, a lot of the artists, especially in their live performances, it seems like their instruments are turned up so loud, sometimes it is difficult to hear the singer.
Is it supposed to be distorted? Because some people want that.
Do something.
I think it depends. I think distortion. It depends on what you're listening to. Because like in the concert I went to hear with my daughter, because, oh man, she'd have killed me if I didn't take her. It's a rock group, and they were unbelievably loud. I mean, we were sitting, you know, way up on the, you know, back off in the stands.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could feel every note hit you in the chest.
It sounds like
and
my
we
uncle's
were,
car.
You know, 500 feet away. It just cranked that loud in there.
As I say in rock and roll, if it's too loud, you're too old.
Pretty much.
Well, we even listened to a country band, and they had their instruments so loud that the majority of their songs you couldn't even hardly
hear. Go watch
a
Trace Adkins concert. Oh, my Lord. Because really? He's got that big, low, boomy voice, and they are just that loud. You can feel his words.
Huh, okay.
So I think it's just the difference between a live performance, and you got to remember when you make a, you know, a CD, they're in a studio, and the levels are precisely controlled.
See, it's hard to understand.
Mixed together.
Like artists now on the radio, they're hard to understand, but that's not because they're too soft. It's because they just go so fast. Well, you've got to kind of adjust your ears to listen that fast and get it. But these guys are just too soft for me. Like, I couldn't hear them quite well.
A couple of their songs were kind of mellow, and those are the ones you're talking about.
But anyways, I want to give them props for getting 2 double platinums on their singles Rise Up 2.0 and Don't Forget Your Roots, which they did very good on.
Didn't they also get a single and a triple platinum?
Not a triple. Or they might have. I don't know. I didn't write that down.
Might have changed.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But I do want to give them extra props. Woo! I'm so happy. Because they knocked Adele off the New Zealand charts with their debut and album.
If you don't realize, April has issues with Adele.
And so, and
go
that
to
was
a past podcast.
Just go back a couple
month You'll of see it. October 2011. They knocked her off with their with this album with their debut, and I'm just
yeah,
so
that's
happy.
The thing that got the triple platinum, the album.
You got a, okay. It got one. Oh, it might have gotten a triple. I thought it just got one.
Nah, the first was another song
Is it,
of theirs.
This was a group of five.
I don't know, Dad. I don't pay attention to that.
I honestly, I think
yes,
it was five.
Yes, there was a group
six.
Of five.
Okay.
And they have a singer, guitarist. I'm not going to go through it all. I can't remember. It is a group of five gentlemen. The Rise Up 2.0, that's a great anthem song. I mean, I could see that why it made it, because it was a good anthem song.
You going to say something, Chris?
I am, but I don't want it to be in the podcast.
Okay.
Go we need to it. Thank Chris for doing his interview in this podcast.
Right.
Okay.
I really get that. But Rise Up is a great one. Some of these songs, if you're listening to this now, earlier we're going to have an interview with Chris Mack, who's the bass synth player for 660. We're going to ask him some of these questions, but I like the fact that some of these songs, the instrumental pieces, I'd almost say, would you guys put out just an instrumental package? Because they were so bold and strong on a lot of the songs that I could just listen to the instrumental and not even worry about the words.
I think that's where I got more of the...
that were actually instrumentals, weren't there?
To me, it sounds like you're saying their lyrics suck.
No, because how I find music is if I like the beat first and the rhythm and the instrumental. And then I listen to the lyrics. That adds to the music at that.
Enhances the music for you.
But to me, the music that was underneath was good enough that for me it could have stood on its own as well as with the lyrics. And I know they couldn't do it because it's cost prohibitive by any means. But, you know, some of it, and I like soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it, I could see a lot of these songs being soundtracks in movies. Because they had a real heavy beat to them. Some of them were, strange enough, there was one song, April, I can't remember what it was called. I can't remember if it was in Lost or one of the songs that they had a reverb in it. That was really strange. But I could see that like in a sci-fi film or something. And one
was
of
it
the,
like a wah-wah pedal?
Was it that?
No, I think it was a synth. I think it was a synthesizer.
Okay.
But it was strange enough, weird enough, but yet it wasn't put-offish.
I think
is that what
you
they
might
call those?
Be
wah-wah
thinking
pedals?
Of the
I
run.
Remember.
I think so.
He's not.
Because that...
See, I can't remember. It was either... It was in... I can't remember the title of the song, but...
Is it Trios that you're thinking of?
You know what? I think I listened to most of the songs, so I couldn't tell you anyway.
Yeah. But
I'm not even sure I listened to.
At the same time, let's all sing our favorite 660 song. Ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Do-do-do. Do-do-do.
Fun.
No, like...
Uh-oh. He's going to try.
It's my friend. Don't forget your
family. All at the same time. Come on.
Yeah.
No, I'm like... Okay.
Don't forget your roots, my friend.
You, the ones who got you here.
All right.
Well,
that I can remember.
Good job, Logan.
Well, the other song, we'll have Chris go into more of this. Like I said, we will have that earlier in the feed. But for one of their songs, Forever, that was picked up by the indie formula circuit. And it was the background music for the Indy 500 pregame show. So that was a nice big honor for them. And I going to be asking Chris how that came about, if they had, you know, so that's going to be an interest story for, you know, from New Zealand coming all the way up to Indianapolis. New Zealand.
You said New Zealand.
You said New Zealand.
Oh. I'm sorry. My bad.
See, I've never heard it pronounced that way before.
But as you know, from being way down there on the other side of the globe, coming all the way up here and being at one of the premier formula races as a pregame background music, you know, that was a big feather that they got to stick in their hat. So props to them again, like April said.
And then with that instrumental thing you were talking about, like when I think there are like two different CDs, there's a lyrics CD and an instrumentals type of CDs. Instrumentals is just instruments. Awesome, but with lyric CDs where it's singers too, I don't like long intros. and long breaks, because I think it should be focused more on the lyrics than the than the instruments, just because it's more of a lyrics CD.
And so sometimes the intro can help set the mood for the lyrics.
Yeah.
But like if it's a love song, you're going to hear a intro that's kind of slow and melodic.
Well, this is a throwback, like Matt was alluding to the 80s. Because back in the 80s, they did have long interludes.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Was that when the Hotel California
came out? Hotel California is a long intro. I love that song.
Freebird.
And that's what it that was. That'd be late 70s.
Yeah,
late 70s. So, that's about a, 12-minute long 70s, song. 80s, yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of. That so I had to get into that frame of mind to a degree to listen to it, too. And that really definitely helped.
Meatloaf had a song that was unbelievably long, too, like that. Which one was it? I can't remember.
I can't either. It's on his...
I Would Do Anything for Love.
Had a Hell album, but I can't...
Was it that one?
I think I don't remember.
But it was like 12 minutes long, too, or something. So, I mean, some of those songs of that era were extremely long for whatever reason.
I can feel somebody reaching through the headphones and smacking me.
No, but... And then on their... how they put the songs in, the order, which it is.
Do you have the list?
I don't know. But in the list, it's like some song, and then it's called... Then they have a song called...
Yeah, some of them...
No, Logan.
You can chain the...
No, hold on, Logan.
Logan, you're not even talking about what I'm talking about. But they have some... Whatever song, then they have the song Get, and then they have the song Lost.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
She's talking about it in a different
that.
Way.
Like,
you don't like one-word titles?
I don't care if they're one word, but I don't want them to connect to, like, kind of form a phrase.
Oh, that is cool. What April or Logan was talking about.
Told
that.
You. Sorry. Well, I consider that awesome.
No,
there was
because,
another
like,
two, too.
This is what we're talking about. This is just reading from the index for the first disc. Only to be forever beside you. And then it's like, let's see. Okay, when it starts with the song Get Lost, Rest of You. So
really?
It does kind of form sentences.
Do you speak? Do you grok that?
That doesn't make
sense.
Do you
think they were trying to do that? Or was that
Logan found those. And
yeah, the last one as well. The last two?
The clear green bottles.
British English, the official language of New
the
Zealand?
Clear green bottles.
I believe
you guys make
so.
Really, really choppy sentences then.
Is well, that? Did I say that right? British English?
But I'm just talking about a short little
old
phrase.
English,
Queen's English. I don't know how.
Queen's language.
But I'm just talking about that a short little phrase like "get lost." Like I'm like I don't mind if you have those songs. I don't mind the titles, but split them up to where it doesn't like.
I'm glad that has everything to do with the music.
And if you intentionally did
and
that,
if you
are listening
to this,
no,
completely disregard her complaints. It is awesome.
Would you let me talk, please?
That was kind of.
I was
awesome.
Beginning to wonder where the positive. Sort of review was coming in.
No, well, like
they're awesome, but your titles suck. And not so many
intros. No. That's not what I'm saying. I don't mind them naming that particular song "Get" or that song "Lost," but put them at least in a different order. Or if you intentionally did that, don't do it ever again. Or
because April hates it.
Or put
yeah,
it.
I
and,
love it.
And she's a high-paying record company to say
no. And
this is what you should do.
Or if it's just a song that has like a part two to it, why don't you just put them together and get it over with?
And I say completely disregard all that she just said except
no,
for the part one, part two thing.
That.
This is a brother sister thing, ain't it?
No,
well, I think it's a style thing.
I
okay. No, because
I agree with Logan.
Because I was reading through this and how Logan picked up on the Get Lost Rest of You. I just picked up on the two. And I was just going nine. So
I
Get Lost. I'm like, oh, I immediately hated
bad.
It.
Yeah.
I immediately.
It's a preference on how people do things, and everybody's going to hate some stuff. But were you going to talk about
dislike?
That they are having a U.S. tour.
I said that.
Probably by the time this podcast gets released, the tour will be over. The tour is actually going to start October 2nd up in Canada, I believe.
Actually, it's on the website.
Washington.
This says.
It's on our website.
Yep.
Is
so
it?
Go check it out.
ComicPopLibrary.com.
Yes. Chris sent me an update, so I updated it.
Okay,
from
what I found on the web, it first one they have...
Should be October 2nd, I believe.
October 6th is what this one has in San Francisco.
Ooh.
According to this website. But it's kind of hard to find some stuff about them.
Go to our website. Or, well, hold on. Never mind. Got it right here. This is the updated list that Chris sent me. They're going to be starting in Bellingham, Washington, Tuesday, October 2nd. And if you go to our website and look under the, well, of
that's
course,
assuming
this is,
there are no cancellations.
Well, true, if there's no cancellations. So, but again, remember, this is going to be after their tour, but we will be having the interview, like I said, and it's actually going to be tried to get out before the tour actually begins. So hopefully you guys have listened to that. And if you are in the area, you did go see them perform, because it looks like they have a pretty good turnout at their events when they do go and perform.
Anything else we need to say?
Shrieking.
Logan.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not a bad group, though.
They're not a bad group. No. I wouldn't say they had any,
they are
from what I heard,
extremely popular.
I think.
Any bad lyrics that pretty much anybody could really listen to it?
Yeah, I think anybody could.
I think you'll have to be directed to this CD by somebody else to pick it up, because I would have never picked it up off the shelf. But if somebody had took me and said, hey, listen to this, then I would have listened to it.
It might get more popular after their tour.
It could get, yeah.
You might be able to, I don't know if I'd purchase this.
This is one, if it's a big enough library in the city and you have a music collection, this is one I would purchase to put in to have different styles and different reflections of music throughout the world.
I'm going to throw my 2 cents in there.
Please.
Why purchase any music when you can find everything on YouTube?
You talk about this every single time
we do a review.
Good. It is, I do.
Because you can't really access YouTube in the car.
Why are you a hater?
That's probably the only reason.
You're going to get people's jobs.
True, but it's illegal to be on that in the car, isn't it?
No.
Only for driving.
And for those in podcast land, Matt was holding up his phone.
Because it's an Android phone.
Well, one, for some of these, you're not going to know about them. Who's going to go and really thumb through and look for 660 and do a browse mode? Not too many people.
Your teen department can advertise.
True. Teens, I say older teens would probably get into this. I would think it would probably be.
You know, the only reason I bring this up is just to make people go.
No, no, I think of it more as something the guys are listening to more, because usually teenage girls are thinking about One Direction. I'm sorry, and yes, I do think about them, but I also think about other bands. Okay,
this is more of a rock group, probably.
Yeah,
maybe not a pure rock group, but more of a rock group. I wouldn't call them soft rock either.
They're too hard to be soft.
Yeah, they're so. Okay, let's not make any comments on that one, Matt. I know you're dying to.
So hard.
Another reason to buy CDs.
Matt, I'm dying to make a comment, too.
Or use iTunes.
Oh, good Lord.
But yeah, pick this one up. If you're a big enough library, I'd say pick it up. It'd be a nice addition. It's good music. There's no questionable lyrics in there. It could be listened to anybody.
Not like Maroon and Diamonds.
Yeah. but the smaller libraries, you know, this one is an expensive album. If you don't have a world collection and you don't have that influence within your collection, I would say interlibrary loan if you can find it.
Or YouTube.
But, well.
Stop being a hater.
We're trying to promote librarianship.
Yeah.
Not use YouTube.
You know, not every little podunk library is going to be able to afford a CD. And
that's what interlibrary loan is for.
Yeah.
And I've thought of another reason why to buy CDs.
Why?
You cannot put YouTube on random. You can put your song list on your whatever you use for it.
On random?
Yeah.
To upload it to an iPod or something?
Anyways, backing off the technology topic, freaking tech heads.
Hey, that's a good gaming handle.
Yeah.
Tech head.
Seriously? You guys have never heard of techies?
That's or Trekkies.
Techies. No.
That's
no.
Right, Logan, you tell her.
I'm not even talking about Star Trek. I'm talking about uglies.
Ooh. No.
No,
it's a
you're
book.
Talking about geeks.
Oh, you're talking about the book by Westfield?
You guys.
I was going to deny it.
No, the Ugly series in their second or third book has techies and tech heads, which are the clique that are the smart people that work with technology. Logan. No, it's Trekkies. No, it's not.
I prefer to be called a demon.
I know my book. So.
D-A-E-M-O-N.
Damn.
What?
A daemon.
I don't get it.
No, it's demon.
That's another
it's
debate
like
for
F-A-E-R-I-E.
Fast podcast.
Fairy. Anyway.
Demon, demon.
Shh.
Fairy.
I don't care.
Shout out Daniel Suarez.
Oh, wow. Just drop that one in there, Chris.
What did he even say? I couldn't hear.
Shout out Daniel Suarez. Suarez.
Past podcast. Check it out.
So is there anything else you want to mention about him, April?
Nope.
No. Wait. I do have a question. Is New Zealand on the technically in the continent Australia?
No.
I believe it's... Is it a province?
Well, then what continent
is
it on?
It's a British province.
It's an island.
What continent is it?
Like, it's an island like Hawaii.
But that's in the North American continent.
No.
No, it ain't.
It's an island in the
okay,
Pacific.
Okay, let's have our geography lesson after the podcast.
They are right off the coast of Australia.
So
I don't know if
right next to the moon.
I don't know if the Australian government has control over it or it's British.
It's British. It's a British colony.
Okay. Oh, well, I would... Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Mess all the countries up.
But then again, Australia is also a British colony.
Is it still
considered
a
British
colony?
No, it's a continent.
I don't know if they're independent
country.
Or not. Their flag still is...
I don't know.
Let's ask Chris.
Wiki.
Ask him.
We asked you. You're not telling us anything.
Wrong, Chris.
No, you know what?
Go, Chris.
No. No, I saw... there's this great video on YouTube that describes how the British tax system works.
You're going to trust a video on YouTube?
And it talks about how the colonies are interlaced, but they're independent.
Anyways, bye.
So nothing else?
Okay, see ya.
I think we're good.
Bye.
Hey, I'm not done.
You said bye.
Yeah.
No, before we leave, Al, like I said, if you're a big enough library, pick this one up. It is a little bit more expensive than some of the futures, but if you're into the international music, give it a shot. If you're smaller, medium to small, think about it before you purchase it. Smaller, you probably won't want to.
Just wait for it to be released in America.
If it is going to be. You never know.
Insanely popular. It is.
It's possible, yes. It's possible. Before we leave, though, we'd like to thank... No, we don't have to thank Music Alley, so... We're doing this.
We'd like to thank April Brookman and Richard Brookman for
and
finding this music.
Join us next time as we review Prelude to Foundation by Isaac Asimov and the Enemy Big Windup. And as we close out this episode, we'll have another drop by 660 Lost. So everybody, enjoyed it again. Good night.
Bye.
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 Beneath the shadow, well, nothing I can say for who I'll be tomorrow. So tie me downward bound, throw me on the tracks, but you still won't run me. Tell me it ain't over. Cause I'm not lost. I just want you to find me.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.